This video was made possible by Skillshare. Get unlimited access to over 25,000 classes for free for 2 months by signing up at skl.sh/reallifelore26. The odds are that if you're watching this video, you're probably doing it alone or in a pretty small group of friends. You're probably watching this with a reasonable amount of privacy around you, but what if you were suddenly teleported to the least private and the most crowded place in the world and were forced to live there? What would your day-to-day life end up being like? Currently, the most dense concentration of people you can find anywhere in the world is here in Mumbai in the Dharavi slums. 700,000 people live here, packed together into just 2 square kilometers, which would be like shoving the entire population of Alaska down into just 2 city blocks. Life in Dharavi is harsh, but it's not the most crowded settlement in human history, and therefore, it's not where you're getting teleported to. As recently as 1993, the title of the most crowded place on Earth belonged to a tiny-sized settlement in Hong Kong known as the Kowloon Walled City. With nicknames like the City of Anarchy and the City of Darkness, you know that it's about to get pretty wild, but before we get too crazy here, you need to first understand this. The population density in New York City is only 10,431 people per square kilometer. The density of people in Dharavi is more like 277,000 people per square kilometer, over 26 times more dense than New York. Kowloon Walled City, on the other hand, was more like 1.9 million people per square kilometer, 182 times as densely packed together than even New York. The city occupied a space of only 6.5 acres, or roughly the same as 4 football fields, but was home to as many as 50,000 people living there. To put it in another way, imagine that you live in a comfortable 1,200 square foot home all by yourself, but then you shove 9 more people into that same home with you. Further, imagine that your home is merely one unit of a 14-story building, and every other unit in that building is just as full as yours. Then, imagine hundreds of those buildings all crammed together into just those 4 football fields of space. In fact, if every single person in the world lived as closely together to one another as the people did in the walled city, the entire human species would be capable of living and working together in just Rhode Island. But what would it actually be like for you to live in such a horrifically crowded place? The street level of the walled city was full of dentist and doctor offices without any official operating licenses, so you'd always have to just take your chances with a random person who was claiming to be a dentist anytime that you wanted to get your teeth checked. It could have been pretty good, or it could have been some rando off the street who decided 2 hours ago that he was now a dentist. Restaurants routinely offered dog meat as a tempting alternative to normal food, all without any adherence to sanitation regulations. Dozens of alleyways on the ground inside the interior of the city connected each side and the living units deep in the dark interior that lacked any windows. These alleys were only between 3 and 6 feet wide, and you would have to carry an umbrella with you to shield yourself from the drippy water pipes and people throwing garbage out above you. The alleys were almost permanently dark, since the unbelievably dense slums above blocked out most of the sunlight. The walled city was essentially the world's largest squatter camp without any official government services or even laws, and it developed a nickname, the City of Anarchy. As the population began to skyrocket from a few hundred up to tens of thousands, both the British and the Chinese governments grew reluctant to interfere with the weird situation and carried out a very hands-off approach with regards to the city. This is how random people could claim to be dentists, chefs served dogs in their cafes, and why nobody knew what to do with their garbage, so they either threw it out of their windows or hauled it up to the roof to be abandoned forever. Since the official government rarely intervened in whatever happened inside, the walled city became increasingly attractive to the people whose society frowned upon, like gangsters, pimps, drug dealers, sex workers, dog eaters, refugees, and apparently even some normal albeit maybe crazy people who simply saw an opportunity. Further up into the dark layers of the city, you could easily find opium dens, heroin stands that operated as freely as convenience stores, and brothels that operated with impunity. The city was a dangerous place for police, or probably anybody really, to enter, so they only ever intervened with large groups and never alone. So if you ran into trouble inside and you call 911, the chances are that you'd probably not get an answer. On average, each person paid 35 Hong Kong dollars, or about $5 US per month, for their rent for a 40 square foot room of space, which is about this size relative to an actual human for reference. Thousands of these little rooms existed side by side of each other, stretching up to 14 stories high. Around 500 buildings were constructed inside of the city without a single licensed architect or engineer providing any kind of guidance whatsoever. Plumbing and sewage was almost non-existent, while tiny metal fabrication shops made up a good percentage of the units between the ground and the fifth floors. While the metal shops provided some form of employment and income, they also added vastly to the horrible pollution problem found inside. While the street level inside of the city was always cast in darkness, no matter the time of day or year, there was also a network of stairs and ramps that would enable you to traverse the city without ever having to set foot on the dark surface. When zooming out to see the entire walled city, you can notice a courtyard in the center, which was the prime social gathering place and the only area on the street where the sun could reach. As mentioned previously, the roof on the city was always covered in garbage and was the prime dumping spot for residents. But it was also a pretty cool spot for you to go and check out planes that were almost crashing into everything. You see, the walled city was located only half a mile away from Kai Tak Airport, and planes landing there would routinely fly just over the city before landing, which contributed to enormous noise pollution. The camp was originally built out across the ancient walled city's borders on the street level, but as space ran out on the ground and more people were coming in all the time, they began building structure after structure on top of those old ones. The residents realized, though, that building higher than 14 stories could result in the airplanes that were landing over at Kai Tak to collide and kill all of them instead, so yeah, nobody ever built anything above that. Life inside was dark, dirty, cramped, loud, and often violent. But a lot of people seemed to actually enjoy it, since it kept attracting more and more people over the years. Your life inside would be guaranteed to be radically different from the life you know now, because there isn't really any place on the earth that's quite like what the Kowloon Walled City was like. Unfortunately, you no longer can visit unless you have a time machine, because the city was finally demolished by the Hong Kong government in 1994, after it became just too awesome for them to handle. All that we have left of the city today is a really lame park where it used to stand, but we thankfully have a lot of amazing photographs that people took of it back when it used to exist, like these, that give you some kind of sense of what it used to be like. However, there is a pretty wacky arcade in Japan called the Anata no Warehouse in Kawasaki that's created a faithful, multi-level recreation of part of the walled city, so that's probably your best chance of getting to experience what I just talked about in this video. If you end up going there, one of the first things that you'll probably want to do is take pictures. And luckily, there's a class on Skillshare for that. Professional photographer Dale McManus teaches this fantastic course, which walks you through the process of taking professional quality photos on your iPhone for whatever you want to take pictures of. This is just one of over 25,000 classes on Skillshare, which each teach you something that you can use for your career, your school, or just for fun. A few more that I would recommend are the Productivity Masterclass by Thomas Frank, Motion Graphics from Kurzgesagt, and Storytelling 101, all of which you can download offline on the iOS or Android apps. You can learn from any of these more than 25,000 classes entirely for free for 2 whole months by signing up at skl.sh/reallifelore26,
and then it's only $10 per month afterwards. You'll be directly supporting Real Life Lore as well, and as always, thank you for watching.